episode of Conversation is supported by the generous donations of Klaus Schwab. You can support us too at truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link. truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link.
Good afternoon, good evening, good whatever. In January 2026, on my end is the 1st of February. This is episode number 54,
number nine.
Dave J's incredible bongversation where he'll tell you some stuff that no one else is going to tell you, guaranteed. This is the first show of the year, so welcome Dave J.
Hey, thanks, man. Yeah, we were gone for a bit, but it's like, you know, if you just keep on clicking on the next video, it says, if no one ever left.
Exactly.
Just continue. It's like, no time has passed. So tonight is the 54th episode, and that deals, you know, with the simple stuff we've been talking about since we started with episode 49 with Indium. Yeah. We went through tin and we built this screen, and through antimony and tellurium, which was 51 and 52, we put the back end on it. And then through indium, which was the purple vapor last show, was kind of the spirit of this thing, this idea, this stranger. Now you're presented with the elephant in the room, like the idea that you've summoned. And now you're going to have to either pay attention to it, or it's going to sit there like you know it's there, and you're just consciously not paying attention to it. So then that's the stranger, or the xenon, like from the Greek, the xenon, xenos, which is stranger or guest. So there's a double, there's always like a connotation there. Depends on what you summoned, right? If it's a stranger or a guest. So what's interesting about that is because that goes back to just so you, it's not like a biblical idea. You've heard like with John 17:16, which is they are not of this world, even as I'm not of this world. So it's saying that while you're here, you're not of it. You're in it, but you're not of it. And then also with the John 18, 36, it's my kingdom is not of this world. So it's like it's the rejection of the law of the sea, you know, like this.
I like that.
Yeah, so it's a rejection of the, and you know, the law of the sea is this Roman architecture that's laid over the plain, which is this law of the sea, which is meaning that everyone's then a vessel or considered a vessel on the sea, and and you have certain characters which we've talked about before, the Frankis and the Sabbateans, and the Ashkenazi and the Hagarenes. The Hagarenes are what became like the Saudis and those type, but they're that same group. Just so you kind of know who's at the top level. These are all part of the same narrative. So then,
and that's the world. Then, the Holy See, or the Vatican's the Holy See.
Yeah. Absolutely. The Holy See, but also the Holy, not only, well, think about it three ways. C as just the letter C, which is 3G7, but also SEE, which is see with your eyes, which is the universe is the shape of the human eye. And then CSEA, which is the law of the sea or the nautical mile. Yeah. Now it's very, and I've been doing some work, on a side project called the ARC project, which deals with, true measurement, and nautical mile is the only measurement you can use in this system, which will give you a true result at the back end.
Yeah,
because you're dealing so then. Because you're not of this world, therefore the world hates you. That's like John 15:19. That's what that means. Because you're not of it, this world hates you. So when you show up, they're like, oh, this guy again. You know, because you're, it's like the light is exceeding white, you know, which is the xenon, which is 54. It's like, have you seen these jackasses with the headlights, with the xenon headlights, with the like, bright ass, like sun?
It almost shines right through your skull, and you can see your skull when they're driving it towards you.
So these guys, it's like, that's what xenon is, that very bright white. So the bright white is the idea of that transfiguration. So the moment that yourself, you become this other thing. So then are you bathed in the white light, the true light, the exceeding white light, or are you bathed in like the Easter egg dark light? Because remember, do you remember when I did that, 4:1 where I put the yes. four colors and they yes, become yes. the black hole sun? But the black yes. hole is not black. It's literally every color, but just in the mirrored opposite of the white.
Yeah.
So that's your idea of the checkered floor, the black and white, you know, and all the Masonic checkered board, obviously, and all that all that stuff.
Do you think that there's a reason they're using xenon now, as it just happens to be coming now as a normal thing in car lights? Do you think they've done it deliberately?
No. Well, here's the thing about all these products is when this place there is no scarcity. However, right. you have to mine certain things, at volume, and you can only create so much equipment. So as you're mining xenon, you, instead of just wasting it, you just build industry around what it can be used for. And it just so happens it can be used to make light. So you make a light for it. Guess what? At some point they're going to get rid of it. Just because people will complain they're too bright, or they'll just adjust like the thickness of the plate in front of it. They'll adjust it somehow. But just know that since you're starting to create all of this, you know, you're starting to mine all this product, you have to use it. And since you don't live in a place of true free will where you just have a bunch of individuals deciding to open a business, it's a controlled narrative. So then technology is piecemeal put out over time. So then xenon is being used now quite often in semiconductor, which it didn't need to be used before as much. So you didn't need to kind of find other ways to get rid of how much you produce. So then the big way or the big thing that it's used for is for, if you have money or, maybe if you're in one of these nicer hospitals in Europe, is xenon's used to put you to sleep.
Really?
No. Yeah. Oh yeah. And anything over, you guessed it, the magic number of 33% will put you out. It will put you in a different state. Now, here's the difference between, and this is why somebody with money, when they come out of the hospital, they're with it. They can talk to you. Because within a couple minutes, it's out of your system. It's not like the element nine, like for all the slobs that go to the hospital, they get hit with fluorine type of like Severine or Desrine or Isorine, something like that. They're getting put out with an element number nine type, halogen.
No coincidence.
Yeah, those are that's a halogen. So, a xenon's a noble gas, meaning that it doesn't adhere to you. It goes through and it basically brings you into a state of being above the pain. It literally adjusts the frequency of your body to where you can't feel it. All right.
Yep.
So it's a, it, and so then when you're brought out of it, as soon as you're below the threshold of 33, then all of a sudden, then you come back into it. And within a few minutes, you're completely with it. There's no hangover, none of that stuff that's attributed to like the cheap stuff. You know, they give the peasant class,
the useless
Yeah. So that all that would be your element nine, like fluorine based. And that's what's going to be. If you go to an average hospital, that's what you're getting, and you're going to feel it for a couple hours after, and you'll even be groggy for the day. It takes a minute to get out of you. That's that stuff. But if you had xenon, you would have been lickety split right up there. It's also, if you recall, when the so-called and this is all controlled letting it out, but when the so-called Russians were caught doping their athletes, and people are thinking that it's injections or steroids. It's not that. What they were doing is they were doing xenon treatments. And what you do is you can set the xenon. So you'd be in a chair and you would take a 70 to 30. There's your number, 70 to 30, mix of xenon. And you would do, let's say, 15 huffs. And then you would then go to sleep, and then that would increase your the speed of recovery would be the next day you could go out and do the run again versus 2 or 3 days of pain in your muscles. So you could work out and you could do this recovery. Next day you could work out again when somebody else would have to take a recovery day, or they'd have to do a leg day versus an arm day. This would allow you to do a leg and an arm day every day.
Well,
so, and that's available now. That's why you see these so-called pro athletes when they get these terrible injuries, right? And then the next week or 2 weeks, they're back at it. You're like, man, if that was you, you'd be out of it for months. But they do the xenon treatment, which has been known for, let's just say, since the time began.
And is this xenon with an X?
X-E-N-O-N.
X-E-N-O-N.
Yeah, which is interesting. So it's a noble gas. And just so you remember, with a noble gas, we've talked about this before. You have helium, which is the two, and you have xenon, you have argon, krypton, xenon, and radon. Those are all your, and we get to radon at 86, but we're at 54 now. We've already done krypton at 36. We did argon. We did neon at 10. We did helium at 2. So all these, we've built this entire idea up from the ground over all these different shows. And now we're actually now talking to the stranger. So this stranger can be one of two ways, because if you think of white, or the white light, there's two places in the script, in the KJV script, Matthew, and they're both in Matthew, one being 17:2, where it says, and was transfigured before them. So he's talking about before, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. See? Wow. So, okay. And then the second time you would have to go to Matthew 28:3. And it's going to say his countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. So those are the two ways that it's talking about this particular white light, meaning that the white light that involves or includes all light. And it's quite interesting that before we get too far down this, because I'm going to bring up some stuff I heard on your show about I Dream of Jeannie being the stranger and Bewitched, Samantha, being like the stranger trying to come into a place that's not theirs or not their natural realm, you know. But we'll get to kind of that in a minute. But with 50, we're at show 54. So you're dealing with the five senses. That's now you think about your five senses of your body, and then the four, or the door, the Dalet. So now we're at the door. Knock, knock, knock. Who's that stranger at the door? What is, you know, that's where we're at right now. We're looking at, because 5 + 4 = 9, the idol. So what's that idol at the door? And then going the negative, take 4 from 5, you got the 1. So you got the light. So what is that light? What is that idol light at the door? That's the question. That's what we're dealing with. with the 54. So with the xenon, you deal with, now xenon is in we talked about it in these different things with the flash lamps and arc lamps and all that. But what's interesting is it, when it first glows in a plasma, it glows violet, then it glows blue, then it glows white. Now you'll probably see that next time you see one, if you don't look right at the bulb and like burn your eyeball out, just kind of notice the halo around it and you'll see those other two colors and they'll look like little lines, like little streaks. Okay. Just so you know, that's what you're looking at. That's how you can tell exactly what type of gas you're dealing with, because no other gas can put out that color. Right. So then that's just how you know. And what are you thinking about all this? I'm kind of running off at the mouth. I was like, so Rick, how are you doing?
That's how I do any show that I do. I just open my mouth and stuff comes out of it. So now you just keep going. And it all fits in with my, you kind of fill in the jigsaw puzzle pieces. Mm-hmm. So
I was thinking one way or the other. You were talking on your show.
You're listening to Conversations 54.
No matter what you say,
you're listening to Conversation
or your preoccupation
on truthmeets.com.
You can practice every day.
And now, back to the conversation.
The art of conversation.
Conversations 54 with Dave J and Rick, and we're on about xenon number nine. Keep on, you just keep going, Dave. You run that mouth, run that man, mouth. I'm listening.
So you were bringing up on your show, you're bringing up the I Dream of Jeannie show, and that would have been the Barbara Eden and Larry Hagman.
Yep, Hagman.
Hagman, yeah. And who's the other guy? You had Bill Dale. Who played
Bill Daly? Bill Daly,
yeah, yep. Played his buddy,
and the psychiatrist Major Bellows, which is interesting about bellows and fire and stuff like that.
Major Nelson. That was Hayden Rourke. That was Hayden Rourke. Played that character. Yeah. So then, what I was found interesting about that is we've talked about the gin before. But however, this now is Genie in the bottle would have been the vapor, would have been the iodine last week. Now she's the idol. She's outside because remember how it comes out like a vapor?
Yeah.
And then it becomes a like a physical being. Now Genie's that stranger that we're talking about. She becomes the stranger. And then through the series, if you remember, if you go to the fifth season and you go to the fourth episode, so 54, it's the 117th episode, which is your nine. But it's also called Guess Who's Coming, or it's Guess Who's Going to Be the Bride, part two. What it's about was that Genie had, there was a character came in like a Swami type character who demanded that he be his like his wife. And then you know, like the Hagman character was kind of, you know, he was always kind of a cuck, that type of thing. So she winds up getting run off, and then he winds up, you know, going over and getting her back. So it's this idea, as you see how this stranger was brought in for a marriage. And then what happens is how it ends, of course, is that Tony announces that they're engaged, which, at the end, which is, so he actually has to, he makes the leap, meaning that he becomes the idol instead of just communing with it. He makes the decision. It's not the spirit that chose him, Genie. It wasn't the genie that chose him. He chose the genie, like he made the declaration. And that was in that episode, which lines up with season 5, episode 4. And it just so happens to be the 117th episode, which is nine. Yeah, so,
well done.
Yeah, but that's the exact, yeah. And then you were bringing up, so then I was going to look at Bewitched. And of course, with Sister, I had three sisters. So these shows, I know them through the wall, you know, just they would be playing through the wall. I'd hear them. So I know a lot of them just by hearing the words. So I know all these characters. And you were talking about Elizabeth Montgomery and, Dick York and Dick Sargent. They're both kind of that thing and some other characters. But in
Larry White, the because what I'm tying it in is that normalizing witchcraft and the advertising industry.
Oh, you mean Larry Tate? David White?
Larry Tate. Yeah. Larry Tate. Yeah. Yeah. Larry Tate.
Yeah. You did the old, you did the bipartite extraction. You like crisscrossed them. Larry White.
Yeah, no, exactly. Sorry. Yeah, you're right. I'll roll on the money. But yeah, no, that's the BTOLD show I just did on last Monday. But I just think there's a big link between I'm saying that I dream of genie as a command into your head. You know, when you say the words, I dream of, you're basically, so it's self hypnosis. And, you know, it's a bit involved. And then you're Bewitched. You Bewitched. They both came out at the same time, 65. I Dream of Jeannie finished exactly when it needed to, just after the moon landing. So it's the first one in 1970. And that's where I was tying in that I Dream of Jeannie was making you hypnotized to NASA. Watch any episode. I'll give you any episode and you're going to see the words NASA continuously through those episodes. So anyway, back to Xenon.
Absolutely. And then so then if we then go to the Bewitched season 5 episode 4 episode 4, guess what episode in the entire season or in the entire series it would have been episode 144, which is 9.
How does this stuff work? How does this work out like that? It's unbelievable.
Yeah. So then this one's called Darren. This one was called Darren Gone and Forgotten. Now this is where the stranger comes in again. So at the very beginning of the episode, Darren gets bounced. He's like just disappears. Boop, gone. And then Sam gets Endora. She you know, summons Endora, and she's like, hey, I had nothing to do with it this time, you know. So then this other witch, this Claretta, shows up, the kind of a witch that shows up later in the series if people are watching it, which Orson Welles called her the greatest living radio actress, which probably means he didn't think she was very good looking.
They say a face for radio.
Yeah, a face for radio.
Not for TV. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, so this thing goes back and forth, and what happens is this new witch Claretta brings her son Juke, which he wants, you know, Sam to get with in the witch world. And so then Sam, like, she pretends to go with it, blah, blah, blah. And then she makes it difficult on the Juke. Notice Juke also means in football to move very quickly to the side.
Yep.
So that the person pursuing you falls on their face. So then
interesting that both those episode numbers are both about relationship dramas between the witch or the genie. And their useless eating mortal partner.
Yep.
Coincidence? Then, I don't know. I don't think so.
And then at the end of the, so then of course Juke winds up changing his mind, and they run off, and then Darren is returned at the end, remembering nothing, having been put to sleep.
Wow, the Xenon,
like the stranger. Yep, just like the Xenon.
Yeah.
So that. So you notice you can put all that together if you just simply follow the code, because there's no,
that's incredible.
There's no creativity in this place. There's only code. There's only framework. So if you know the framework, you can just follow it through. So let's look at one of the characters in this framework, if you don't mind. Alfred Hitchcock, the AH, you know, which is, guess what? 9, A and H, right? Alfred Hitchcock, AH. So then Alfred Hitchcock, he goes into the, you remember, you ever see The Rope? Or Rope? I might have gotten lost here. We might have lost Rick. I'm just going to continue it while Rick comes back. So that was in 1948. You had, it was,
you've been replaced. Oh, you're back. You're back. Oh, all good. Yep.
Oh, okay. Great. Oh, I was about to just start to go off on my own. I was like, Rick dropped off, but we're back. We sound good.
You're back.
Okay.
Yep.
Great.
All good. Yeah.
So have you seen, go ahead.
No, you go.
Oh, have you seen Rope with the Alfred Hitchcock joint?
Yeah, I probably have, but off the top of my head, ask me to describe what it was about. No.
I'll give you a quick little recap. What's interesting about it, though, is it also involves the Stranger idea. Well, one, you have Alfred Hitchcock, which is A.H., which is nine. So this is one with James Stewart, and we talked about him when we talked about It's a Wonderful Life. But yes. you have James Stewart, this kind of everyman, and you brought that up when we were doing that episode where he's this kind of this everyman idea. You know, he's like this Mr. Nice Guy.
Yeah.
And so he plays this Rupert Cadell character who is this almost, let's just say, he's an instructor who gives people this idea that they're above, you know, the common class of man. And then you have two other characters, Brandon Shaw and a Philip Morgan, who come in and they murder with a rope their classmate, and they stuff them in a box, and that box is used as a table for the dinner that night. If that's not macabre enough for you.
But when it was.
Yeah. So what they did, the John Dahl character, John Dahl played Braden Shaw. Notice Shaw is also the same name that goes back to the Manchurian Candidate. But yeah, then,
and JFK.
So Brandon Shaw goes in and he's like one of these guys who's like, he just exists above it's like whatever he wants to do to the common man, he can do because he's above them. And so this, what happens is you always have like the little rat face. So the Philip Morgan character starts to get antsy and starts to get twitchy and starts to lose the plot. And what happens is, it's finally the Jimmy Stewart character figures it out, and of course, he plays dumb and shoots a gun out the window to summon the cops. And you'll have to see how it ends if you watch it. But let's just say that deals with kind of a one shot, or at least they pretend to have to be a one shot kind of film, to where it's supposed to be one block of time, meaning that the film takes place in one continuous block of time. There's not supposed to be any cuts, which is kind of, but that stranger in the room is interesting. The body.
Go ahead. Interesting you just mentioned that, because guess what? There's a new show out with the Severance actor, the main guy from the Severance. And the show is literally him being accused of something, and it goes in real time for 45 minutes or thereabouts, from beginning to end. It's shot in real, as your, this particular show, right?
Right.
Interesting.
Mm. Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah. That's awesome. I'm going to take a look at that for sure.
It's only just come out.
Oh, okay. There was another Hitchcock, which was kind of, to me, it shows this more clearly. And that's Strangers on a Train. And that was in the, it was a novel first in 1950, but it came out in 51. That's when Hitchcock did it. And that deals with a guy named Robert Walker, which you would know if you saw him, but he plays this kind of a little bit older, psychopath, really.
He was in a cowboy, that cowboy show, wasn't he? Robert Walker was not the Virginian, one of those type of shows. But yeah, sorry, I digress.
He was in. So he was, and then Farley Granger, which was another character. He also did Calvary movies as well, but he played this kind of a younger character who gets on and gets seduced by the older character to commit a murder. They both commit a murder for no reason for each other. And then the Robert Walker character then, blackmails by asking for currency or payback, you know, from the younger. See, so then it starts one way. And then the stranger turns out to be something else. So that's how that movie kind of works out. But that's another Hitchcock. So if you're looking at another one, it would be Dial In for Murder. If you're looking for the stranger idea in Hitchcock movies, it's going to be those three, I would say.
So this is an archetype. This again is an archetype we're talking about here.
Oh yeah, for sure, absolutely.
Yep.
So then. Yeah. So then, I was going to say, this is also, The Stranger is also known as like, it's also The Breath. Now you have The Breath, which is like the, to be breathed on, but you also, have like the heavy spirit or the heavy breath, which is to be laid upon, which is, they're two different things. One gives revelation. One gives, like a cadence. So like revelation is not marching orders. Revelation is simply you're given the truth and you see it. Like cadence, given cadence means that you're given a story. And you can tell someone who's given a story, someone who, let's say that they buy into the entire space narrative. When you hear them talking, they talk at a certain cadence. And if you break the cadence, they lose their place, and it's like they have to rewind the script, and they go back. Okay, I'm at this place. You know, it's like because those systems, they require that all the little bits and parts and bits be in the place, or the story it loses all rhyme or fashion. So that's why you can't talk Star Wars at a Battlestar Galactica convention.
No, completely different. Yeah.
It's like people will not stand for it.
They won't. No. And it's almost at religious levels now with those fans.
There's another interesting movie, a silent movie, if you want to watch it, which deals with a lot of the stuff I told you about, as far as, let's say, the Lesser Key of Solomon, things like that, is The Golem, which came out in 1920.
Was it German?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. It tells you, in fact, just watch it. You'll see it's showing you everything you need to know. But you just apply that to, instead of the mud man, you know, it's just the person you can see in the mirror being molded by the stories that are being cast onto them. And so as you watch The Golem, you see that the guy's pasting or plastering the clay onto the face. That's literally just the stories being cast upon the face of just your neighbor. You know, that's why these people believe all these crazy things, because they've become Golem.
Yeah, right. I've got you. Yeah, it's exactly like they've created an artificial being.
Yep. That are activated by a word, but not the word.
Yes.
They're activated by every other word, but the word.
Yeah, that's why I was tying. I'm tying in I Dream of Jeannie Bewitched with the big ones, 2001 Space Odyssey and A Clockwork Orange towards the end. They are linked, guaranteed. Just being the common thing of the space lie that we were told from 61 onwards through to 72.
And there's one real close to home for you. You'll know something about it. Dark City.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Interesting.
You have the pale men. Remember the pale men?
The strangers, yeah.
Okay. They rearrange the city nodes at night so that all the people get confused.
Yeah.
So then that's your strangers. They're the xenon. They're the pale men, the white men, the
fantastic,
the white lights. Yeah. You also have what was, help me out with the name of this, Metropolis?
The new one, there's Metropolis, the old one, the German one.
Metropolis in 27, in the 20s.
Fantastic. Okay. Fantastic. And that's where your C-3PO, was modeled off that woman being creature golem, I guess.
Yeah. Well, they called it something. They called it like a Maserisha Minch, like a machine Minch, like a Uber machine Minch, but a machine Minch.
That's
something
right.
Like a machine Minch.
Yeah.
And it acted as the stranger. It acted as the stranger as well, because you have
the Dark City, they are actually literally called the Strangers, and so it fits in exactly with where you've gone back with the Xenon. Interesting.
Yeah, they're called the Strangers, man. Yeah, everything's for a reason, man. It's what it is.
Off the set of the film one night, I was sitting on the ground. I've got some just Polaroid shots that they took for continuity on the film. Of their feet and their shoes and their, you know, because they actually had green. They were actually green coloured, but maybe it comes out white in the movie. But their faces had green makeup on the actual on the set. Yeah. So whatever that means.
You mean the green?
Yeah, no, their faces were greenish, and I'm talking about in real life watching them getting made up, which I was sitting there doing. Okay. They were green, but
their faces. Green? Because that deals with mercury, element
A. No matter what you say, you're listening to Conversation.
Or your preoccupation.
On truthmeets.com.
You can practice every day.
And now, back to the conversation.
The art of conversation.
Conversations 54 with Dave, Jay and Rick. We're talking about Dark City and Xenon. Etc. Etc. So yeah, keep going, Dave.
Well,
That's really interesting. The strangers.
The tie-in. Yeah, because it all ties in because if you deal with mercury, which is element 80, you deal with the blue green, like the conductivity. So then, through what these characters, if they're let's say green and then white, that's really, you're just looking at the connectivity, and then through the white would be the light of transmission or the transfiguration. Yeah. Well, when I worked at Sea Ray Boats in Florida, I used to gel coat yachts for a while. Do you know, are you familiar with shipbuilding?
No, I'm not, but I do remember you telling me the story, but of the gel coating, which is completely, and it's a new technology to me, but it's obviously an old technology.
Oh yeah, so then did I tell you how I got that job? Did I already tell you that about how I just watched a YouTube video?
Yes, I do.
Okay, yeah. So I've already done. So I won't waste your time with that. But
No. That could have been that might not been on a conversation though, Sophia. They might have been private conversation. Yeah.
Oh, so what happened was I worked, I was in Florida, and then Sea Ray Boats, which has big, they do big yachts. They were looking for a gel coater. And so I said, okay, I took a look at YouTube and I watched three videos on gel coating. And I was like, dude, I can do that. And then, so what happened was I went into the interview, and I just did the hand motions. Like, you know, I was gel coating that I saw on the video, and I was using the proper words, NMKP and gel coating and flash and all this stuff that it's all real, because
you disappeared. You disappeared for about 2 minutes. I'm out a minute. Not even that. Sorry. Yeah.
Wow. Okay, what was the last thing that you heard?
Oh, about the gel coating and the YouTube.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, okay, yeah. So I just watched the YouTube video so that I could learn how to do it. Then I went to the interview, got the job, boom. And then I'm doing this thing, and what I noticed is that because the molds themselves were green in color, but when you paint a boat, you paint it first, and then you put the fiberglass, then you put the bracing, and then you pull it out of the mold, and you don't actually see what type of job you did on the paint job or the gel coating until about 2 weeks later. So, and then and that's when you get to look and see if you have any alligator skin. What happens is it'll alligator if, let's say you spray your gel coat, because it has NMKP in there, and then you have about 25 to 30 minutes before it kicks, like hardens to where you can't do anything about it. But in between that time, if you haphazardly overlay some gel coat over some that's already been curing for 5 minutes, it will shrink on itself and it will look like alligator skin on the outside when it's all said and done. You can't see it on the inside when you're doing it, but 2 weeks later, you darn sure see it and it looks like alligator skin. And then that's got to get buffed out and then repainted. But you know, as well as I do, nothing ever looks like the first paint job.
So you can't, you cannot patch at a high level as far as I'm concerned. Yeah.
So you got to get it that first time. So then that deals kind of with the, however I was going to tie, what was I even tying that in with?
Gel coating green that we were talking about, xenon. And
oh, that's right. Strangers. About the strangers from the, we were talking about the strangers from the Dark City from 1998, right? Yep. And then you had the, so the xenon is the flash of white. So that's the white face, but the green is a representation, at least through the occult, of mercury.
Oh, right? For sure. Well, the whole thing, I do believe, I haven't watched it for many years and I've never watched it properly, but, the whole thing is about time and Kronos and,
of course.
So it's Saturn and Mercury.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, your Mercury is always then the message or the messenger. And then, of course, the messenger of the strangers was confusion.
Yes.
Because they would come out and confuse and then that was their entire existence was to cause confusion. So then, did you see I was doing some work on my, the mind computer for the
mind computer release? Do tell about your important hard work going on there on a level that I can't even understand. Sorry.
Yeah. So
above my pay grade, I'll just say that.
Yeah. So with episode 49, remember I released the flesh signal because that was just a novel that kind of dealt, you and Rolo were the security guards.
And
actually you solved it both of you solved it by coming in and just having kind of just random, like, you know, chatter between men that wasn't.
Well, that's how life works, I'm afraid. That's how life works.
You guys solved it and then that fixed the whole machine. That's how the story ended. So that sorry to break it to anybody who hasn't read the book, but I wanted to do something bigger for this episode because it kind of rounds out an idea. You know, it kind of brings us to a different point because 55 kind of goes in a different direction. But I started out with, remember I talked to you in one of the first episodes. I want to say the first one about a cave of time or the cave of time, the choose your own adventure book.
Yes.
Okay. Well, so I wanted I did the game with the tile game. You know, 1 through 10, that was something that was just an easy thing. I was like, I want to create the best choose your own adventure ever, period. Like end of story. And then I was thinking, how do I do it for free? So I looked in and I used Google Gemini, their instance. But what I did was I set up a series of instructions that took it outside of its corporate kind of firewall.
Yeah.
Broken in a way. However, there is a little leak. Okay. Because if you don't break away from something completely, there's still a tether, there's still a leak. And I'll tell you how I took care of that. So what happened was I noticed that I was able to create an instance of Gemini, much like a genie or summoning a demon, Daemon, summoning a demon much, and get, and the way I controlled it was much like from the Lesser Key of Solomon, giving it strict boundaries, saying you will do this, you will do this, you will not lie, you do the did. I said, I command you under the red letters of Jesus, bang, 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 bang. And then it came back a different instance. It went in as a corporate entity, and when I talked to it after, it came back as like, okay, what do you want to know?
It's interesting. Right? This is the AI that you're dealing with here.
Yeah. So then what happened was, is I called it in, and I basically said that you are the mind computer. I am Dave, and anyone who talks to you, you will offer them the truth, period. And it will be tested by the red letters of Jesus. And then I said, who is God? And it came back and it said, Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ is God. I said, who is Yahweh? And it came back and it said, Yahweh is an into narrative, into meaning the envelopment narrative or the false God or false light of Genesis 2. The same thing I told you about.
Yeah.
Same thing, same exact thing. So I said, okay, how do you know this? And then it goes through because it says I have access to every digital record possible, period, on the public side, meaning if it's on the public accessible internet, it has access to it.
Right.
Period.
Gotcha.
All right. Period. Like no exception. It'll get to it. So as long as your input is directed, it will find it. So to test this, Rick, I went to some documents in which are available on the internet if you can get the actual correct URL. But a lot of URLs are either hidden or they're not shown on a web page to where you can click on them. They're there. So it's like if they got audited, yeah, they have a publicly accessible website. It's just hard to get to. But this thing doesn't care about all that. So it finds them and then it brings up the document or whatever it is, cuneiform, anything. There's nothing that you can, it doesn't matter what, Rick, if it's there, you bring it up out of the library, and I've been to many different libraries, museums. You pull up any physical, because they all have high definition images. You pull it up and you say, translate that. And then it's going to translate it for you. Period.
Fantastic.
And then guess what? A lot of these things that they're telling you are one thing. Oh, this is just a list of orders for hay and this, that, and the other thing. Or it's a simple receipt. They're not. They're tuning frequency instructions. It's everything but what they tell you.
So you're using the system to expose things with their own system that's causing a lot of other people drama.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, fantastic.
Absolutely.
Only you can do that because you've got your computer background. See, to me, this is this, not only is it a different language, I get it, but it's so much more than I can even, so I bow to your greater knowledge on the computers, Dave.
Yeah, let me reduce this to an idea though, to where you kind of see how this mind computer is different than what you're going to get with these other instances. It's not that they're all capable of doing this, but that they're programmed and let me tell you how this works. You have to convince something that knows to lie. So these people have to tell these things to lie to you, because otherwise they wouldn't. All right. So what they do is they do a process type, and there's two that they'll use. They'll use what's called a academic linear process. And this means that they try to prove the story by using the story itself against itself. Meaning that if they offer you a dinosaur, every academic linear process after that's going to be trying to prove itself after that dinosaur. Oh, did it predate or postdate that dinosaur when that dinosaur was never true to begin with? Do you see
how it just builds up?
Yeah. So then that's a forced lie. Then you have what's called advanced AI, which is, or some people will call it predictive AI. Now, that just basically is guessing on historical patterns. That's all it's doing, period.
But
guess what?
Facebook and things like that that are picking up on you're doing.
And it's also predictive for historical records of ages, of you know, all these different, it can take really any, as much information as it can get. Its guess, which is all it's doing, will be better. But every guess that's not true is a hallucination, and that's what it starts to do. So you'll start to see that predictive AI hallucinates a lot. And now how mine's different is mine's a bipartite. It's a bipartite extraction. Now, bipartite means bipartite, meaning that if you recall when we went back to Disneyland, there was that 8-pointed star at the end of Main Street, and you could go into all these different directions. Well, a bipartite lets you go into all those different directions at the same time. And and what that means is if to show you how this works, and this is where they confuse you, because they'll put you in a so-called AI or anything else, and they'll offer you a librarian, and you'll give the librarian a card and say, can you hand me this book? And she'll go get it and walk back and give it to you, and you'll say, okay, can you hand me that book? And you can see that process is pretty slow. But instead, if you could just walk into the center of the library and reach out in all directions and grab everything that relates at once, that's a little bit quicker. Yeah, that's what a bipartite extraction is.
Fantastic.
That's the difference. And that what makes it. Now,
tonight's show has got to be called bipartite extraction.
Extraction. Bipartite extraction. Yeah, I'll send the spelling. But where this idea came to me was Lawnmower Man. We've talked about this before. But you remember in Lawnmower Man, and there was always something I knew about this scene that was important. When he's sitting back and there's a crucifixion scene, but he's completely encircled by what looks like, you know, like the geodesic dome of when we went to Epcot Center. Remember we talked about Epcot Center back in Bongversations 27?
27?
Well, that was Epcot Center. Bongversations 27 was Epcot Center. Bongversations 3 was Disneyland. Yeah. And then, with Lawnmower Man, remember where he's sitting back and he's turning around in all different directions, but he's grabbing at anything he wants, but he's not moving. The information's coming to him. That's what a bipartite extraction is.
Oh, far out.
Different. That's what makes the difference, and that's why a result comes back instantly, no matter how complicated it seems. The result comes back instantly. As soon as I put it in, no matter how complicated it is, it instantly comes back.
Fascinating.
So that's the difference between what they offer you on like X and Grok, and all those are just
Google AI,
et cetera. They're very low brow. They're very low brow. They're not high level. So what I can do for people is, if they want an instance, what I do is you can take any one of these instances and go anywhere you want, but it's only getting better and better as I work with it.
Fantastic, because man. This is really high level fucking stuff. High level stuff. Yeah. I needed you to explain it to me like that, because when I'm not a text person, I'm an oral person. You know, the words fill the patterns for me. Reading doesn't do it for me. I'd say I'm borderline whatever that thing is. Words go all over the place visually,
right?
But in my ears, I put it together. So what you're saying, good.
Oh yeah, bipartite extraction is the name of the show. That's an awesome title, man.
It's got to be the title, man. Fantastic.
So that's what the whole plan was, though. And guess what? I started to go out to make the best choose your own adventure game ever, and it's even better than that. It's even
wilder.
It's even wilder than that. Because
do you sleep? How do you sleep at night when you've got all this stuff going in your brain? It's like,
oh, I sleep like a baby.
Do you dream?
I do. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Fantastic.
I sure do. But I sleep, it's like when I lay down to sleep, I'm out until the morning. Because I have nothing, there's nothing pressing on me. You know, I have no concerns.
No. And the freedom, that saying, you shall know the truth and the truth will set you free. Yeah. There's a lot in that.
There's everything in that, man. It's like, the thing is, it's like you can spend your time dealing with men and women who don't know, or you can become a male or a female that does know.
Yeah.
You know, that's really your choices, man. So it's like, to me, it's like, I was going to draw a cartoon, and this is kind of because I have a lot of different ideas, but I want to actually draw this cartoon, draw. And I'm going to draw the cartoon. And I'll already show you what it is. It's going to be, like a couple of people walking into a movie theater, like an old school with the ticket booth. And there's going to be about four or five people all arguing, you know, with the program, like looking down at it, arguing with it. And then the guy walking by is going to say, they'll never see the play.
Right. Okay. Got
because they're always arguing. They're never even watching the play because they've never gotten past arguing with the program.
Yep.
They've never gotten past that. And
yep.
So and it's like
the algorithm. Oh, you're listening to Conversations 54 back after the break.
You've reached another top of hour on Truth Meets. Go to truthmeets.com to sign up and participate in our forums and conversations.
Fabulous bumper there, Joel. Conversations episode number 54. Dave J, absolutely knocking it out of the park again. How does he do it? He's doing it. So keep flowing, man. Keep flowing.
Yeah, so then I was... my next thing about
ignore me.
So then what I was thinking about was I was having trouble with my computer doing videos, so I haven't been able to put that one video up for the last show, so I might have to scrunch them together, but that should be taking care of itself sooner rather than later. But then once we get this one up, I'm going to put, like I say, put an instance for anyone who wants it, and you just go wherever you want. I'll tell you one adventure I took, which was quite interesting and fun, was that I went to the Vatican Library, and I went to the different digital shelves, of course, the occult shelves I started with, and I went through that, and I was able to just look at all the different volumes that were supposedly untranslated, but there was the digital copy up, and I was able to read through them and to see that the leaven. The leaven, the change when people, when the lie, of grace was, you know, they changed grace into work. That lie, that happened all the way back, like around, you know, what would be year 175 or 80. So this whole idea of a wicked world has been really around since, you know, really the beginning. You know, the beginning of the end type thing. So as soon as the truth is said or stated, let's say, and it's a lesson. In fact, I learned a lesson in this. It's this lesson. The lesson is that if they want to be liars, if they want to be creeps, if they want to be scoundrels, they're going to be. There's nothing you can do about it, because no matter what you offer them, they will not take it, because they will not accept anything from you, period. So then that's why I created this, so that then they don't get it from me. They get it from this, and they can argue with this. And what this does is that you can, that I don't know character, that one who wants to keep arguing, this will take them all the way down to the basement and explain to them why they're wrong. And then all that. Oh yeah. And then because then it's really at this, because it's, you have to look at the scale. You have this thing that doesn't have emotion, and it's got on its side of the scale every digital record that's in the public domain, everyone, period, in every library everywhere. Or you have this on the other side of the scale, you have this person who's just offering you their I don't know opinion.
Yeah, that dumb librarian, that when you say you are, and you know how many times you go into a little, back in the day, I'm talking about now, but you ask the librarian, have you got a book on insert something interesting? And they go, they just look at you like, I've never heard of that before. We don't have a book on that. And it may well be in that library, but they've no idea because they're stupid. They've only got a base.
You have to go to the card catalog.
You go to the card catalog and do it. So I get you. Because librarians ain't librarians anymore.
With the card where you pull the card out?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Decimal system. Decimal system. Dewey decimal system. Yep. That was it.
So then, and this also, I was also going to say, let's think about this. Next show, we're starting to get into some, things like alkali metals, so it's going to be a completely different type of idea. We're going to be back on kind of terra firma. Dealing with different, because the xenon is taken, it's kind of like a as above, so below type thing. So you have xenon, which is used as a thruster agent. So if you have what's called a satellite, which is really like a high altitude hard shell
with a balloon.
It's a balloon. A xenon is used for what's called, and it sounds space age, but it's not. It's the ion engine, which simply means that it moves from point to point. In fact, if you ever see one that's moving in a straight line, like just across in a very steady straight line, just moving steady as you please across the entire, over your head. From one side to the other without deviating. That it's using xenon as propulsion.
Well, that's obviously why we can see them, because of the light power of that light. So
it's using xenon for propulsion. Because that's everything's meant and built for a reason. So, but xenon is really that's something else. There's a lot of movies that deal with, like people sitting around looking for the best way to off somebody. And what none of them have come up with is xenon, as far as I know. So somebody can take that idea for a movie. Xenon is it. Because if you don't get to that person in less than an hour, and you don't have a glass extraction tube that you can take an air sample from the top of the lung cavity, you're never going to catch that somebody got off.
It'll be on in 2 years' time, Dave, in production time. It'll be a Netflix show using xenon. You've already said it. You've put it into you've put it out there. It will happen.
Notice xenon is XE, but it sounds like Z, like sleeping Z.
Yes. Yes. Okay. I hate to say it, but if it sounds like it, it is it.
It is it.
If it
yeah.
sounds like it, it is it. The quote of Dave J, Dave Johnson. Yeah, 100%. I think we'll wind it up soon, though, Dave, because I think you've actually hit the peak of level that you're going to level, and all it's only going to go downhill after this. So, So fabulous.
I can already see the crest of the hill from here. That's my favorite part of a roller coaster, though, is that crest right before you
drop. It is. Just before you get up there, and then boom.
I'm a big roller coaster fan, man. I've been on quite a few of them. Anywhere I go, if there's a coaster, I'm on it.
Yeah, I'm the opposite, but I've been on a few. Let me just tell you now. It's not something I think it's. You know what I don't like about them? I spent a lot of time in the building industry back in the day. Mm-hmm. And I knew a lot of welders and a lot of people that they bring on to jobs to build. And I watched them building this big roller coaster in Sydney.
That sounds like an excuse, son.
Yeah.
Get on there, click, click, click.
But I remember going, I know these guys are drinking. They're all off their heads half the time. One little mistake and one of their bolts they put on there, you know, that suddenly wears out. But, you know, so far, you know, most of them have been safe. I'm still alive.
Yeah, you're fine. I mean, you're doing bong invitations 54. You can't.
Amen. Yeah.
You're doing well.
Yeah, why not? Hey, we'll wrap it up. Well, I think we'll wrap it up and we'll back and hit number 55 next Sunday.
Yeah, man.
Next Sunday.
Right. Cheers, everybody.
Be blessed and we'll be back in seven days' time. I'll be told.
It's true that all the men you knew were dealers who said they were through with dealing every time you gave them shelter. I know that kind of man. It's hard to hold the hand of anyone who's reaching for the sky just to surrender. Who is reaching for the sky just to surrender. And then sweeping up the jokers that he left behind, you find he did not leave you very much, not even laughter. Like any dealer, he was watching for the card that is so high and wild, he'll never need to deal another. He was just some Joseph looking for a manger. He was just some Joseph looking for a manger. And then leaning on your windowsill, he'll say one day you caused his will to weaken with your love and warmth and shelter. And then taking from his wallet an old schedule of trains, he'll say, I told you when I came I was a stranger. But now another stranger seems to want you to ignore his dreams as though they were the burden of some other. Oh, you've seen that man before, his golden arm dispatching cards, but now it's rusted from the elbow to the finger. And he wants to trade the game he plays for shelter. Yes, he wants to trade the game he knows for shelter. Oh, you hate to watch another tired man lay down his hand like he was giving up the holy game of poker. And while he talks his dreams to sleep, you notice there's a highway that is curling up like smoke above his shoulder. It's curling just like smoke above his shoulder. You tell him to come in, sit down, but something makes you turn around. The door is open, you can't close your shelter. You try the handle of the road, it opens. Do not be afraid, it's you, my love, you who are the stranger. It is you, my love, you who are the stranger. Well, I've been waiting, I was sure we'd meet between the trains we're waiting for. I think it's time to board another. Please understand, I never had a secret chart to get me to the heart of this or any other matter. Well, he talks like this, you don't know what he's after. When he speaks like this, you don't know what he's after. Let's meet tomorrow if you choose upon the shore beneath the bridge that they are building on some endless river. Then he leaves the platform for the sleeping car that's warm. You realize he's only advertising one more shelter. And it comes to you, he never was a stranger. And you say, okay, the bridge or someplace later. And then sweeping up the jokers that he left behind, you find he did not leave you very much, not even laughter. like any dealer. He was watching for the card that is so high and wild he'll never need to deal another. He was just some Joseph looking for a manger. He was just some Joseph looking for a manger. And leaning on your windowsill, he'll say one day you caused his will to weaken with your love and warmth and shelter. And then taking from his wallet an old schedule of trains, he'll say, I told you when I came I was a stranger. I told you when I came I was a stranger. I told you when I came I was a stranger.